Napa know-how.
There are lots of amazing cars on the road, but perhaps none more amazing than the paid-off car. It may not be pretty, but the price is right. Heck, if you keep that thing running, it'll actually start paying you. Because with Napa Rewards, for every $100 you spend, you'll get $5 off. So keep your car running longer, stronger with Napa Rewards and watch the savings start rolling in. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and what has now been the maybe drunkest NBA period I think I've ever seen. Don't forget the podcast is available on iTunes, on Audioboom, wherever podcasts are found, and it is the only one covering the Pelicans in this capacity, on this type of schedule, daily for you all, talking about all the topics you want to know with your favorite team. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. And don't forget, you can follow the podcast on social media as well. Follow it on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. And give it a like on Facebook as well for me. So I said it's the drunkest period of the NBA I think I've ever seen. And, you know, I went to bed last night after going to dinner with my girlfriend and her friend, who's in from out of town, just kind of like casually looking at the phone. And then I see all this stuff about Dan Gilbert not renewing the contract of the Cavaliers GM, David Griffin. And it's funny because a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month or two now, actually more than that, I talked about how David Griffin is one of my favorite GMs in the league and one of the better ones, I truly think, with the work he's done there. And I want to talk about that a little bit more today. But I talked about if he'd be a good fit for the Pels should they decide to move on from Dell Demps. And I still think he is. And now all of a sudden he's available, but Dell Demps is certainly staying through this year. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. And then, you know, where you're back in college and you've been partying all night and you go to sleep at like 3 or 4 in the morning and you've had so much to drink. And then when you wake up at probably like 1 o'clock, let's be honest, where you drank that much and stayed up that late, you're still drunk the next day. And it's like you have one drink and everything comes rushing back. And I'm not saying this ever happened to me or anything, but the NBA did this. The next day, after the craziness of the Dan Gilbert, David Griffin, and now potentially them losing LeBron James thing, it comes out that now the Lakers are engaged in Paul George trades. Okay, that makes sense. It comes out that David Griffin was like elbow deep, I think was a quote from David Aldridge of NBA.com and TNT, saying that he was working on a trade for Paul George or Jimmy Butler, and then now George is going to a different team, and then all of a sudden the Knicks are looking to trade Kristaps Porzingis, and what the hell, man? And all of a sudden, maybe he's going to go for the fourth pick in Devin Booker. By the way, if you're the Suns, pull the trigger on that deal in a second. And it's just nuts. I read the story about kind of how everything fell apart in Cleveland and just what is going on. And it's kind of fun because this is just silly and insane. And I have no idea what's happening with this or why the NBA is all of a sudden going through this weird little crisis period. But we're going to talk about all this today on Locked On Pelicans. This supersedes any sort of second-round pick talk for the Pelicans. I'll give you guys my big board tomorrow on the podcast, day of the draft. But this is just nuts. Like, what in the world is going on? And it's a lot of fun, isn't it? So before I just kind of jump into everything here, do me a favor, go to iTunes for the podcast here, Locked On Pelicans, and give it a 5-star rating for me and leave a comment or two if you can, particularly if you want me to talk about a topic on the show here. Throw it in the comments. That's a good way to do it. It gives you some incentive to go over there and rate it. But, you know, liking it on Facebook, following it on Twitter, and really the 5-star rating is a big one right now. Helps the podcast tremendously. It helps it reach a new, bigger audience, which keeps this free for you guys 4 to 5 days a week, depending on what's going on, talking about all the topics you want to hear with your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans. Again, it's the only podcast coming to you guys like this, where you can listen to it on your drive to work, on your way home, whenever you have some time, and it's not too long, so it fits that perfect period. Trust me, I write for Bourbon Street Shots. I love McNamara and Schwann and In the Know. I don't have time to listen to two-hour podcasts all the time, so it takes me like days to get through those things, even though they're really great. This is a different format and seeks to kind of reach you guys in a different way, and liking it and following it and rating it and leaving comments, all of that truly helps tremendously. So David Griffin and the Cavaliers, and David Griffin is definitely a name to keep an eye on because this is someone who's thought of very highly in NBA circles. And if you see his work, again, three straight titles while he's been the GM there. And not only that, three straight finals trips and won a title there. And I think he's a great GM. People like to make the easy joke that LeBron runs the Cavaliers. But if you really start to read the news coming out about this decision, and there's a great article on ESPN.com, I forget who it was by today, talks about how he doesn't really have a big say in personnel matters or running the franchise. People just want to say it because it's the easy joke. But that GM job is tremendously, tremendously hard. And all this just goes to show you is Dan Gilbert is absolutely one of the worst owners in sports, where he's just screwed this guy who was running out of his contract time, whatever you want to say, and didn't go ahead and give him a contract offer or extension. And it turns out Dan Gilbert has never extended the contract of a GM in his tenure as the owner of the team. Screw that dude. That's not even to talk about the Quicken Loans stuff, which is entirely different and just, oh my goodness, bad. And he somehow profited a crap load of money over that. Anyway, so David Griffin takes over this team that's more or less capped out, can't do very much, and he improved it at every turn while building a really good relationship with LeBron James once he came back to Cleveland. And don't forget, LeBron doesn't have the best relationship still to this day with owner Dan Gilbert, but Griffin really was that good intermediary. LeBron trusted him. He built a team that, again, made three straight finals. You know, look at moves like J.R. Smith, Darren Williams. He did the trade for Kevin Love. You can go on and on about the moves he's made, and they've done quite well. It's not easy to improve a capped out team where you have very limited tradable assets in terms of first round picks and young talent. And he did it. And you kind of see a bit of a parallel here with the Pelicans, where they're kind of capped out. They don't really have very many assets, and it's not an easy gig to come in and try and improve this team. We've seen it. We managed to do one move here, bring in DeMarcus Cousins, where, again, you got to give Dell Demps credit, but largely maybe this is because of the Kings' incompetence. So to do what he did there is a very strong job, in my opinion, and you trust him to come in and be able to make these kind of moves around the edges to upgrade the roster and talent in very creative ways that maybe other GMs don't see and aren't as aggressively trying to do. So why should you keep an eye on him other than just having interest in the league? And you know he's going to end up in a good position even if he has to take a year off here. One of the things to keep in mind is people do really want a president of basketball operations here in New Orleans. And that's just never how they've operated with the Saints, this Benson ownership group. So I don't believe that they will do anything differently for the Pelicans. I think Loomis feels comfortable in his role trying to evaluate general manager Dell Demps and kind of being that president of basketball operations. But supposedly, David Griffin, who has an incredible tenure and wants to get paid a lot of money, and rightfully so, he's only paid $2 million or so, which is one of the lowest ones in the league as a GM, was very interested in becoming the president of basketball operations over in Orlando. If New Orleans were to create that position, that is a guy I would hire in a damn heartbeat to bring in here and oversee everything running this team. He's a guy who cut his teeth in PR and worked his way up to eventually running a team. He knows all aspects of running an organization. That's the type of guy you want leading a franchise, and I think he'd be great here in New Orleans. Fortunately, I just don't see them creating that type of position, and he's probably going to land somewhere else. So before talking about the other drunkenness, maybe is the way to put it, going on here in the NBA, and by that I mean really Porzingis and what the hell is going on in New York. Remember I did a podcast talking about dysfunctional franchises? How great do the Pelicans look right now after the Cavs, who made three straight NBA Finals appearances, are about to blow this whole thing, and LeBron's going to leave. He won his title there. People are saying he can go. This is just nuts. And then you have the Knicks. Is someone holding a gun to Phil Jackson's head and making him trade the best player and the best young talent they've had on the team in like a decade? We'll talk about that in a second, but I want to have a little segue middle part here. And that's Solomon Hill, and he's having some fun on Twitter, if you follow him, trying to see if he can get Paul George to come down here at least for a year in New Orleans on the rental, which talked about the other day here on Locked On Pelicans. And it's a pretty interesting thing. You know, I don't think he's actually called Paul George. Paul George sounds like he's most definitely going to the Lakers and is the only place he wants to be. But it's nice to see, even on Twitter, nice to see Solomon Hill trying to just have some fun and lighten the mood here and everything for Pelicans fans. Just saying, yeah, let me call him. Let me see what we can do. We can get him to play the two or, you know, point guard Paul George. That's easy. PG. And get him down here. You know, it's nice to see that. I'm not going to get too excited over what he's saying until I find out he actually was making calls and actually doing some recruiting work here, which Davis has said he doesn't really do, but kind of does, but doesn't really. So it's nice to have one guy who at least make jokes about it and everything here on the Pelicans, and Solomon Hill doing that. So you may hate Tom Benson, and you may hate this ownership with how they've handled the Saints and the losing seasons, 3 straight of 7-9, I think it is, and just kind of maybe the passivity, I guess, is maybe the best word for how they've approached the Pelicans and the lack of winning, even though, you know, they kind of been trying. And, you know, people want accountability and want, you know, maybe some blood spilled or heads to roll to show that and show the fans that they really do care that losing with a guy like Anthony Davis is still not okay. And a lot of this stems to just, frankly, the losing record, not being thrilled with the head coaching track record so far of Alvin Gentry. And all of it's valid. But aren't you glad this team isn't run like the Knicks? And you have Phil Jackson out here looking to potentially move Kristaps Porzingis, who's become a star in the New York market, who's only 22, has a strong game, jumpy, can rebound, can score inside, has a three-point shot, and they want to move him for a lottery pick to probably 4 is what it sounds like the deal might be, where they're looking to potentially trade get Devin Booker and the 4th overall selection for Porzingis, which I think would be a loss for the Knicks and a huge trade win for the Phoenix Suns by getting an established guy, where I don't think Booker's that good yet. Maybe he works out, maybe he doesn't. I'm not sold on him. He's got that 70-point game last season, but I think other than that, hasn't been that great. So you don't know if he's going to work out. You don't know if the 4th round or the 4th overall pick is going to work out. And it sounds like they might be taking someone way too early, like Lauri Markkanen out of Arizona, which again is like a Porzingis type player. And it just doesn't make any sense. Like, my goodness, what an awful trade that would be for the Knicks. And at least you don't see the Pelicans doing anything like that. Also, just, you know, potentially they're going to ship Kevin Love out of Cleveland to bring in Jimmy Butler. And Love's a better three-point shooter than Butler is, even though Butler can create off the bounce and is more of a playmaker overall. But when it comes to spacing, I think that's going to be advantage Love. So you have ownership in Cleveland that's a damn mess. Ownership who is just letting Phil Jackson run this team absolutely into the ground like the Knicks are doing, where at least the Pels, for all their failures, aren't those teams right now. And, you know, what good is trading the 4th pick going to do for, or it would be the 4th pick for Kevin Love, and then the 4th pick with Cleveland would get flipped over to the Bulls for Jimmy Butler, plus some other stuff maybe. What good does Kevin Love do to the Suns? I just don't understand anything that's going on in the NBA right now, and it does make you appreciate this Pelican situation for how dire it is at times and kind of a really key offseason, even if Drew Holiday leaves. Holy crap, man. It just is a mess other places. It's storming here in New Orleans right now, but they've got just worse crap going on in these other cities with these other teams, so kind of maybe puts it all a little bit in perspective here for Pelicans fans. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Again, don't forget, please like it, subscribe to it, follow it on Twitter at Locked On Pels, and leave a 5-star rating over on iTunes. That does go a very long way. And if you make a comment, put in something you want to hear me talk about, and if for, you know, we'll gather a bunch of them up and do a podcast about all of it. I think that would be a lot of fun. So That's going to do it for this edition. Just NBA's drunk right now. It's kind of fun. I enjoy it. Let's see if it wakes up drunk again tomorrow and it keeps this bender going as we lead up to the NBA draft. Tomorrow's episode, by the way, going to give you my draft board for the second round. I will also be co-hosting double coverage with Seth Dunlap on WWL Radio 870 AM. I believe it's 8 to 11. I got to check the times for sure. Make sure you guys listen into that. You can turn on the radio, frankly, if you have one, I guess, here in New Orleans, 870 AM. You can also stream it online. I'll be tweeting out the link a bunch. It's really cool because you guys can call in and ask questions and we'll answer them live on the air, so you get everything answered in real time. So it should be a lot of fun to be able to do that. Seth's a good buddy of mine too, so we're gonna have some fun on there breaking down the NBA draft, probably talking Gilbert Cavs and all of this other business. So it's gonna be really interesting to see what goes on. So thank you all for listening. Again, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.